Did he mean he wanted to go back there today? Or did he mean next time she was in L.A.? If so, what did he mean by that? Don't overthink it, Alexa. She tried to listen to Maddie's voice in her head and took a bite of the donut. Oh, my God. She swallowed and took a bigger bite. These are amazing. He grinned at her and wiped frosting from her cheek with his thumb. Did you doubt me? After the donuts and her post-donut thank you that went on for quite a while, he jumped in the shower. As soon as he was out of the room, she reached for her phone again. Her boss usually didn't email this early on a Sunday, and he'd had that wedding to go to, but maybe he'd had time to read her memo. Nope, he hadn't. To relieve her feelings, she shot off a quick email to Theo, in the hopes that he would have some insight on when she might get a reply. He emailed back a minute later. You've been working for him longer than I have, and you know it. Don't you have better things to do, this weekend especially, than sit around on a Sunday morning and freak out about this? She replied, Teddy, no matter what other better things I have to do, I will always freak out about work. You know that. Good news? She looked up to see Drew standing in the doorway in a towel. What? She was distracted by that rivulet of water running down from his shoulder, down that cleft in his chest, straight down to... You were smiling at your phone. I was just wondering why. He sat on the bed next to her in his towel. Oh, she sighed. For a few seconds there, she actually had stopped freaking out about work. No, I was just laughing at something Theo said. He got off the bed and dropped the towel, but too quickly pulled underwear and jeans on. He was still shirtless, though. Who's Theo? He asked. They'd spent so much time together that it felt jarring that he didn't already know. Theo's the mayor's communications director, my work spouse, a good friend, all wrapped into one. She got out of bed and reached for the robe that they'd pushed to the floor. He pulled on a gray T-shirt, just like the one he'd been wearing when they met in the elevator. Maybe it was that same shirt. She remembered that flash of his chest in the elevator under his shirt, and how much she'd wanted to run her hands up and down his chest. She still couldn't believe it had actually happened. He looked out the window, not at her. Are you guys together or something? She tied the robe tightly around her body. Boy, did she not like the implications of that question. Me and Theo? First of all, no. But second, do you really think I would be here with you this weekend if we were? Weird that he'd think that about her and Theo without knowing anything about him. Even weirder that he'd think she'd cheat on someone. He looked at her and half-smiled. She needed more than his cute little half-smile after that. She walked toward the bathroom. No, wait, Alexa. He sat down on the bed and patted the spot beside him. She turned, but didn't move toward him. Please? Well, she was going to be here for the rest of the day anyway. What else was she going to do? She sat down. Sorry. I didn't think... That's not what I meant. I asked that wrong. I just wanted to know, for future reference, if there'd been anything between you guys. And plus, you were texting him on a Sunday morning. His eyes dropped to her cleavage. Naked. I don't usually text my work friends like that. She thought about asking what for future reference meant, but she had no idea how to have that conversation. She was great at difficult political conversations, not so much personal ones. I'm just on edge about work, and I needed advice. He made fun of me instead. It made me feel better. It was an email, not a text. She paused. And I forgot I was naked. Drew grinned. I didn't. She grinned back. Theo and I couldn't possibly have more platonic of a relationship if we tried. He's like the brother I never had. Drew sat back farther on the bed. What were you on edge about? What did you need advice about? He asked. Oh, this arts program for at-risk youth I'm trying to get the mayor to support. I gave him my memo on Friday afternoon, and while I know he probably hasn't even read it yet, let alone made a decision, I still keep checking. Drew put his arm around her and leaned back against the pillows. This program is really important to you, isn't it? She nodded, her head against his chest. Tell me about it, he said, his fingers moving through her hair. She hesitated. Was she ready to get into this with him just yet? Or ever, really? Would he understand? Would he even care? He kept waiting, though. I've always been interested in how to help teenagers. There are all sorts of programs for little kids, lots of reading groups and playgrounds and stuff like that. But people stop caring about kids once they hit the age of 11 or 12, and everyone hates teenagers, which sucks, because that's just the time of life when everything is changing and scary, and you need help. And then when teenagers screw up, no one ever wants to give them a chance again, especially teens of color. But an arts program? She looked up at that tone in his voice and saw his raised eyebrows. Isn't that just rewarding kids who get into trouble? How's that going to deter them from getting in trouble again? She sat all the way up and pulled the robe tighter around herself. She should have known he wouldn't get it, but this kind of attitude from him made her even more disappointed than she thought she could be. Disappointed and angry. Sending kids to jail for low-level offenses doesn't deter them from anything. It just makes it worse. People write them off. People like you. He tried to interrupt, but she talked over him. And that just makes them more likely to screw up again, because at that point, they know that no one cares about them. A program like this would show them that people care. It's not a reward. They would be required to attend and complete the program, but it would give them different ways of coping with stress and not push them into a system of punishment that could ruin their lives. She shook herself and sat up. How was it that she could argue this point totally dispassionately at work, but not with Drew? See, this was why she couldn't be trusted with difficult personal conversations. Her temper always got the better of her. I'll jump into the shower now, if you're all done with the bathroom. Well, he'd fucked that up. He clearly hit a nerve there, and before he'd had the chance to figure out what to say, she'd fled to the shower. He wondered if he should say something after she came out of the bathroom, but she gave him that bright smile she kept using on Amy at the wedding and said she was hungry, so he didn't bring it up. Instead, he drove her out to the valley for dim sum for lunch, to a place Carlos had told him about. After they both had fits of giggles about the embarrassing amount of dumplings on their table, things seemed normal again. They took a long nap in the afternoon sunlight when they got back to his apartment. He woke up to the breeze blowing her hair into his face and her nose nuzzling his neck. He turned over in bed and pulled her underneath him. She laughed up at him from the nest of his sheets and pillows and his body. Her dark hair fanned around her head like a halo, her brown skin glowing against his white sheets. He laughed, too, just because she was here, and he was here with her. He kissed her forehead, her cheeks, her eyelids, and finally her lips. They kissed like that for a while, nothing more, both with their eyes open, looking straight at each other. After a while, she sighed and put her finger on his lips. Drew, as much as I would like to keep doing this, what time is it? My flight is at 8:30, remember? He took a deep breath and rested his forehead on hers. He wasn't ready for this weekend to be over. Finally, he looked up at his bedside clock. 5. She sighed and wrapped her arms around him. Okay. Did you still want to stop at that burger place on the way to the airport? He touched her cheek with his thumb. I would rather stay in bed doing very dirty things with you until we have to go, but if you're hungry... They didn't have time to get burgers. Right before he got off the freeway to LAX, he cleared his throat. I'm not on call next weekend, so I could maybe come up. I mean, if you're free. She glanced over at him, opened her mouth, and closed it again. Finally, she said, Yeah, that works for me. You should come. I'll probably have some work to do, but... He interrupted her. Did you hear from your boss about your memo? She shook her head, reached for her phone to double-check, and shook her head again. Hopefully tomorrow, she shrugged. I can't count on it, though. He cleared his throat. I really hope he says yes. She touched his hand, and he grabbed hers. Thanks. Me too. Too soon, they pulled into the terminal, and he got out of the car to pull her suitcase out of the trunk. Still holding it, he joined her on the sidewalk and kissed her. Her arms went around his waist, and he marveled again at the touch of her hands, how they turned him on and soothed him all at the same time. She pulled back first. I shouldn't miss my flight. He let go of her, but didn't get back in his car yet. Right. Okay. See you next weekend? Her smile almost knocked him down. She nodded. Yeah. See you next weekend. Chapter 13. Alexa drove herself home from the Oakland airport, still in the combined mood of euphoria and confusion that she'd been in since getting out of Drew's car at LAX. He'd kept making little references to the future all weekend, from saying that they'd go to the donut shop next time to asking about Theo for future reference. The whole time, she had been too afraid of destroying the mood to ask him what he meant by all that. But then when they were almost at LAX, damn it, he'd gone and said that he'd come up to Berkeley next weekend. What was she supposed to have done then? Quiz him on his intentions in the drop-off line at LAX? It's not like she thought this relationship was going anywhere significant. Drew had made it very clear in the elevator that he wasn't that kind of guy. So instead, she just said okay. She wasn't overthinking this, remember? But she couldn't sleep that night. Her mind cycled around thoughts of Drew, her boss, her memo, and what was probably wrong with it, the weekend, and how much fun she'd had. Drew, work the next day, his text asking her to text him when she was home, and his increasingly dirty texts after that. The new policy director she was going to have to hire. Drew, the way he'd looked at her when they were in bed. Finally, she got up and made a cup of chamomile tea and washed it down with half a Tylenol PM, which gave her about 4 hours of too deep sleep. She woke up groggy, but in a much better mood than the night before. She was on her way to the job that she loved. She'd spent all weekend having sex with a hot doctor, and if she was a betting woman, she would bet that Theo would bring donuts in that morning. Sure enough, she ran into him on her way into the building, a pink box in his hand. "My hero," she said, as she handed him the coffee she'd bought him. "How did you know I was going to bring donuts?" He eyed his coffee and the grin on her face. "I had a hunch." She popped open the box and took out hers. "Just what I needed." He tested his coffee for temperature, not taking a sip yet. "We all know you got lucky this weekend. Do you need to flaunt it?" She just grinned and took a big bite of her donut as he followed her into her office. "Before I forget, did you hear anything? Normally, I wouldn't have even had to ask, but with you gone this weekend..." His voice trailed away as she shook her head. He sat down in one of the chairs in front of her desk. "Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. First, the weekend went well, I'm guessing?" He sipped his coffee and reached for his own donut. "It did, thank you." She pushed all of her anxieties from the night before away and grinned at him. He leaned back in his seat as she sat down and turned on her computer. "Excellent. Are you going to see him again?" She shrugged. "He's going to come up here this weekend." He toasted her with his coffee cup. "Good job, Lex. I'm glad one of us is having fun with something that isn't work-related." She laughed. "Me too. Now, about my program. When do you think the boss will give me a yay or nay, or even a maybe or nay?" Theo took a long sip of his coffee and sat back in the chair. "Well, either he read it over the weekend and will come in with questions for you today, or he didn't even glance at it over the weekend, and you'll have to remind him about it today. We'll know that soon, at least." But she heard nothing from the mayor about her project all morning, even though she sat through two meetings at his side. The third of the day was their bi-weekly meeting with the city attorney. After the city attorney ran through the list of current lawsuits against the city, protesters, slip-and-fall cases, employment matters, something about a clown, and pending settlement offers, the mayor looked up from the doodles on his notepad. "Great. Now that we're done with all of that, Alexa has an idea to run by you. It's not a legal problem, but I want to make crystal clear that there are no liability issues before we bring this to the council. Got it? Thanks, boss, for springing this on me. She didn't even have her notes with her. Luckily, she could recite this from memory. Yes, sir. Susan, here's my proposal. She floated back into her office. She hadn't won yet, and there was a long fight ahead, but at least the mayor was with her now. She walked into Theo's office to shout the news at him, but it was empty. "He's having coffee with a reporter," Theo's assistant called out to her. Damn it. She needed to share this joy with someone. When she pulled her phone out to text Maddie, she saw a text from Drew. "How's your Monday? Any word from your boss about your idea?" Huh. After their not-quite-fight about it on Sunday, she was surprised he'd brought it up again. She was so excited that she wanted to text him with about 40 exclamation points, but she tempered her impulse. Just talk to him. He's in. Good start to the week. Fine. One exclamation point, so sue her. Great news. What did he say? She made a mental note to reward him for giving her an exclamation point back. Hardly said anything. Sprung it on me during a meeting with the city attorney. She plopped down at her desk, slid off her shoes, and twirled around in her office chair. By the time her rotation slowed, she had another text. Great work. I'm happy for you. She spun her chair again and beamed down at her phone. I'm happy for me, too. Exclamation point, exclamation point. She couldn't hold back on the exclamation points that time because it was true. She was happy about her project, happy that she had Drew to tell about this battle she'd fought, happy that he was happy for her. She was so busy smiling and spinning and looking at her phone that she didn't even notice Theo come into her office. You were looking for me? She jumped up, almost knocking over her chair in the process. Theo, listen to what just happened. Just as she finished telling him the whole story, her phone buzzed again. We'll have something good to celebrate this weekend. She beamed at her phone again. Theo's eyebrows shot up. You told him? She shook her head. What do you... I didn't... How did you... She sighed and gave up. I knew because I know you. Okay, we have to plan this out. Coffee in an hour? She nodded and waved him out the door. Maybe all of her middle-of-the-night anxieties about everything had been for nothing. Carlos had been so busy on Monday, he'd barely nodded at Drew, and he'd gotten to their basketball league at the last minute. Drew hoped that meant he'd managed to escape the Carlos brand of humor about Alexa. But he heard a shout after the game when he was almost at his car. I liked her, you know. Drew turned around to find Carlos jogging toward him, a broad grin on his face. I noticed. You sure seem to want to spend extra time with her. Carlos caught up with him. How long did it take for you to jump her after I walked out the door? Drew flashed back to Friday night. They'd barely stopped to take off their clothes. He shook his head. None of your business. Carlos laughed. That fast, huh? I thought you'd throw me out the window if I was there for another minute. Drew unlocked his car and tossed his bag in the trunk. If you had stayed another minute, we might have tested that theory. Carlos wiggled his eyebrows. So, when are you going to see her again? You are going to see her again, right? Yeah, he was going to see her again. This weekend. He tried and failed to hold back a grin. Flying up there for the long weekend. Carlos patted him on the shoulder. Finally. Good job, dude. Proud of you. Drew shook Carlos's hand off his shoulder and opened his car door. Oh, great. Now Carlos was smug because he got him to text Alexa in the first place. He never would have done it if he'd known he was in for this. Okay, never mind that. Yes, he would have. Proud of me for what, asshole? Carlos grinned. Oh, you'll see. Tell Alexa I say hi. Is he sleeping with anyone else? Maddie asked as she sipped her second margarita. Alexa paused, her own drink halfway to her mouth. That hadn't occurred to her. Why hadn't it occurred to her? I don't know. Because she hadn't wanted to think about him with anyone else. That was why. Why do you ask? You said he isn't really one for commitment. So I wondered, Maddie said. Are you going to ask him? Alexa took a sip of her drink. This wasn't what she'd expected from Margarita Night with Maddie. Taco Tuesday was not supposed to be stressful. She didn't want the third degree about Drew. She just wanted some uncomplicated applause. At least she'd gotten that from Theo. I hadn't thought about it. Okay. So I guess asking if you guys are dating now is going to get the same non-answer, isn't it? Alexa set her drink down. What happened to don't overthink everything, Alexa? Maddie laughed. I guess sometimes you do listen to me. But that was different. And even now, I'm not saying you need to overthink things. Just don't underthink them. Great. Perfect thinking balance. That doesn't sound hard at all. Why didn't I think of that? Now, can we talk about you instead? Who was the client who pissed you off this week? Maddie's styling business was thriving, which meant she always had great stories. Alexa laughed throughout the tale of graduation dress shopping for a whole family, ages 70, 55, 18, and 9. Unfortunately, now that she'd been given permission to start thinking more about the Drew situation, it was all she could think about. Should I ask him? Alexa asked, midway through her second drink. I guess that depends on how much you want to know the answer, Maddie said. Wednesday afternoon, Drew's phone buzzed in his pocket while he was in the middle of an appointment with Jack and Abby. He grinned, almost certain of who had just texted him. He and Alexa had been texting each other all week, both in innocent and creative ways, though she'd been strangely silent today. He fought the urge to pull his phone out of his pocket and concentrated on Jack. When Abby and Jack were walking out the door, she stopped and turned around. Your friend Alexa's been so helpful. She's gotten me in touch with help that I didn't even know existed. Please thank her for me. Alexa hadn't even told him she'd been in touch with Abby. I'm sure she'll be happy to hear that, he said. Jack high-fived him with his good arm as they left. He ducked into his office in between patients to text her, but then he saw the text that had come in during his appointment. Are you sleeping with anyone else? Whoa, wait. What had prompted that? He responded before he stopped to think. Not at the moment. I'm at work. Why did he never stop to think? I see. What about after work? Will I get a different answer? Maybe another joke would help. No, tonight is basketball night. There was a knock on his office door, and he looked up. Dr. Nichols, your 1:30 is in the exam room. I'll be right there, he said, and looked back down at his phone. How about this? Now you have the weekend free, so neither work nor basketball nor I will get in the way. What the fuck? How did that escalate so quickly? And why the fuck has she brought this up right now in the middle of the day? In a text message. Come on, can you just calm down about this? I was just joking. He sat down on the edge of his desk, ignoring the files that fell onto the floor. Ha, 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 ha. So funny. Somehow, he didn't think those were genuine ha, 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 ha's. While he was still thinking about what to say to her, his phone buzzed again. Look, Drew, I'm too busy to deal with this. I don't think this is a good idea. Drew barely caught himself from cursing out loud, and luckily remembered that there were small children and their parents just outside the door. Dr. Nichols? The knock on his door was louder. Shit, he was running even later than usual. Coming! Come on, Alexa, what the hell? He slammed his phone down onto his desk and opened his office door hard enough for it to bang into the wall. Why the fuck did women have to do things like this? Everything okay there, Dr. Nichols? The nurse asked. Fine. Who's next? He raged through his next four patients. He forced himself to smile at the kids, but he was particularly curt to one of the moms, and he knew he'd hear about that later. Carlos came into his office at the end of the day when he was getting ready to go. Why are you still in those clothes? Carlos dribbled an imaginary basketball on his office floor. Basketball tonight! He flashed back to the text he'd sent Alexa that day and cringed. Gotta bail, sorry, His general plan was to go home and drink all of the beer in his fridge.
"Why, gotta call your girl?"
Carlos asked. "You really going to ditch us for her?
Though, I have to say,
she is really..." He didn't want to hear the end of that sentence. "She's not my girl." He threw his bag over his shoulder and walked out the door. Carlos, of course, followed him, still talking.
"Yeah, yeah, of course you'll say that. I know how you are, but anyone who sees you together knows the truth. She's not my girl."
Drew got in the elevator, not looking at Carlos, but he could feel his scrutiny.
"Okay, what happened?"
Carlos pressed the button for the lobby, still staring at him. Of all people, he did not want to talk to Carlos about this. He'd make it a whole big thing, and it wasn't a big thing. It had just been two fucking weekends. It was over, and he didn't want to deal with it or think about it anymore.
"Nothing."
They rode down the whole way in silence. Carlos followed him across the street to the parking garage and got in the elevator with him there.
"Are you going to tell me now?"
Carlos got off the elevator with him and walked with him toward his car.
"Don't you have somewhere to be? Why are you following me? Go play basketball."
Carlos gestured to the left, and Drew saw his gleaming red BMW.
"I parked two cars away from you this morning, jackass. I'm not following you."
He leaned against Drew's much more battered car and studied him.
"Though, that is a good idea. You realize that I do have a key to your house, right? If you don't tell me what got you in this mood, you know I'm just going to follow you home until you do. And I know it's about Alexa, so don't try to bullshit me."
Drew sighed. As much as he'd fought it, he'd known it was inevitable. "Fine. Follow me home. But you'd better stop to get us food on the way. And you're paying." 20 minutes later, Carlos walked into his apartment carrying two In-N-Out bags. Drew ripped them open, bit into a double-double, and washed that down with his second beer. Then he flipped to Alexa's text messages and tossed his phone to Carlos.
"You might as well just read what happened today, so I don't have to tell you. Scroll down."
Drew watched Carlos's face as he read. In seconds, it went from puzzlement to amusement to outrage, and finally landed on exasperation. He set the phone down in the center of the table, popped open a beer, took a long sip, and sat back against the couch cushions. Finally, he looked at Drew.
"Not at the moment?"
"Really?" Drew thumped his empty beer bottle down on the table.
"It was a joke."
Carlos unwrapped a burger for himself.
"Oh, yeah? Did you think she would think that was funny? Did you think that any woman would think that was funny?"
Drew got up and went into the kitchen for another beer.
"I wasn't thinking. I wasn't prepared for that question. Why did she text me that? In the middle of the day? On a Wednesday?"
Carlos squeezed out three ketchup packets onto his hamburger wrapper and grabbed a handful of fries.
Ugh, he always took all of the ketchup.
Drew should have just gotten his own damn hamburgers and gotten drunk at home alone in peace.
"So, what, a Thursday would have been better?"
He wanted to throw his beer bottle at Carlos's head. Instead, he drank from it and sat back down in his corner of the couch.
"What?"
Carlos asked.
"Just making a joke." "Okay, that was it. He didn't have to take this shit in his own house. Fuck you. Go home."
Carlos had the audacity to laugh at him.
"No, I mean it. Fuck you."
Carlos stopped laughing at him, but he settled himself and his burger and beer more comfortably on the couch.
"So you're going to call her, though, right?"
Drew slammed his beer bottle on the table. The beer fizzed up and overflowed everywhere.
"No, why would I? I can find another girl. I have before. I will again."
Carlos didn't say anything as Drew went back to the kitchen for another beer. Drew sat back on the couch and took a gulp. "It was going to have to end at some time anyway. Better end it now before she really hates me." He looked up and saw Carlos looking at him.
"What do you mean?"
Drew shrugged off the question and reached for the food. When he looked up, Carlos was still staring at him.
"What? What's wrong with you?" he asked.
Carlos shook his head. "Nothing, dude. Finish your burger."
Alexa spent the rest of the afternoon, first furious at Drew, then at herself. Why had she decided to text him in the middle of the day, on a Wednesday, for God's sake? Did she have to do this right when she was about to go into 3 back-to-back meetings, where she had to concentrate and be diplomatic and pay attention? Shouldn't she have waited to talk about this in person? After the last of her meetings, not only did she have to drive her boss home, but he made her sit in the driveway with him and talk about their transportation plan for 15 minutes. She felt like she was going to crawl out of her skin. She was angry that she had gotten so invested in a relationship that it lasted all of 13 days. Angry she'd done all of that for something that wasn't even a relationship in the first place. Angry at Drew for being such a jackass. Angry at Drew for being such a great guy for 98% of those 13 days. Angry at herself for being on the point of tears for 6 straight hours, when she prided herself on never crying. Angry at her boss for still talking about fucking bicycles, when she just wanted to go home. Finally, the mayor's wife called him from inside the house and told him that unless he came inside in 2 minutes, she was going to eat their dinner without him. All Alexa wanted to do was go home and wallow. But even that made her angry. How dare she need to wallow after such a short time? She barely even knew him. Why couldn't she be like one of those women who could sleep with a guy for a few weeks, never see him again? No big deal. She envied those women. She put on her most comfortable yoga pants when she got home and texted Maddie. "The Drew thing is over. I don't want to talk about it." Her phone buzzed a second later. "You okay?" She dropped her favorite bra on her bedroom floor and shook her head. "I don't want to talk about it." Maddie knocked on her door 30 minutes later with 2 bottles of wine poking out of her purse and a large pepperoni pizza in her hands. "We don't have to talk," she said, "but I'm hungry, and I thought you might be hungry too. And there's a marathon of Say Yes to the Dress on right now, so..." Alexa took the pizza out of her hands and turned toward the couch. "I'll get the wine glasses." Chapter 14. Alexa sat in her office the following Tuesday with the door closed. She closed it for a conference call, but the call was long over. She needed some time when no one would walk by and pop their head in. Time when she wouldn't have to smile and act professional and interested. Time to studiously not think about what her long weekend would have been like if she hadn't sent those texts. She put her head down on her desk and closed her eyes. She wished she could throw herself into work, but the whole day had been super slow because of Memorial Day the day before. Even though she was furiously making lists of who to talk to next and doing more research for her program, it felt like busy work more than anything else. Normally, she enjoyed quiet weeks at work where she could put her head down and clear things off her plate. But this week, she needed all of the chaos that she wasn't getting. Her phone buzzed, but she ignored it. It was probably Theo asking if she was free, or Maddie checking up on her, or her cousin needing a favor, and she just couldn't deal with anyone right now. But even so, she pushed her phone under the curve of her arms and opened one eye to see who it was, just in case. Theo. The wave of disappointment hit all over again. It wasn't like she expected Drew to text her. There had been no word from him for a week, and she hadn't reached out to him either. So why was she still hopeful? She left her office without responding to Theo's text and walked up 2 flights of stairs to go to the bathroom. Less of a chance she'd see people that she'd have to talk to on another floor. She splashed cold water on her face, repaired her makeup, and installed a smile on her mouth before she went back down and knocked on Theo's door. "You needed me?" She leaned against the door frame and hoped this was short. Theo looked up from his computer. "Yeah, but this isn't about work. You're still coming to my birthday thing this weekend, right?" Shit. She'd totally forgotten about Theo's birthday. On top of everything else, she was a terrible friend. Of course, wouldn't miss it.
Theo narrowed his eyes and beckoned her into his office.
You forgot, didn't you?
She gave up and slumped into a seat in front of his desk.
Okay, yeah, but I'm sure it's on my calendar. It's not like I wasn't going to come. What's the plan again?
She knew she'd talked to Theo about this at some point, but it was all mixed in with her cousin's engagement party and the grand opening next week of that new bar on Telegraph that the mayor had decided to attend.
Now I know something is wrong with you. We're meeting at the Royal Arms in the Mission for drinks.
She made a face. I hate that place.
Yes, I know. That's what you said the last time we talked about it. But my buddy Nate is a part owner and is giving us a fat discount.
I hate your buddy Nate, she said, without any heat. She'd said that the last time, too. It was all coming back to her.
I know. Dave will be there. He's always had a thing for you.
Maybe he can pull you out of this funk. She thought about denying that she was in a funk. But what was the point?
I'll snap out of it at some point. Just stressed about everything with my program, that's all.
She stood up to go back to her office and stopped in the doorway.
Who all else is coming?
Can I bring Maddie? People you like, I swear. I invited the whole crew from the campaign. But yeah, bring Maddie if you want.
Drew went for 2 long runs on the beach over Memorial Day weekend. He repeatedly reminded himself that if he'd been up in Berkeley with Alexa, he wouldn't have been able to do that. He walked back home along the beach, checked out all of the women in bikinis, and tried, and failed, to make himself hit on one of them. He went to a birthday party, one that he would have happily bailed on to be in Berkeley. He left before the blonde in the strapless dress, who reminded him of Amy, could put her hand on his ass again. Sunday afternoon, he almost texted Vivian, a girl he'd been sleeping with for a while in the fall, but he watched golf on the couch all afternoon instead. He was relieved to fill in for someone and be on call on Monday. Carlos burst into Drew's office on Wednesday afternoon.
"Hey, man, my trip to Hawaii was great. Thanks for asking."
Drew looked up from his stack of files.
"You were in Hawaii?"
Carlos rolled his eyes and dropped into a chair.
"You're such an asshole. My cousin's wedding? I was a groomsman? I left Friday morning, which is why you had to cover for me on Friday?"
He shrugged. "Right. Sorry that your travel schedule isn't on the top of my mind at every moment of the day. You have my apologies." He went back to puzzling out his own handwriting in his files.
"Wow. Someone is still in a shitty mood, huh?"
Carlos settled into the chair.
Damn it. He should have just smiled and asked him about his trip, and he would have been gone after a few minutes.
Now he was going to have to deal with this bullshit. Just busy, that's all. Carlos looked at the pile of files on his desk and raised his eyebrows. Drew only did this work when he was forced into it or had nothing else to do to keep him occupied, and Carlos knew it.
"So, I'm guessing from the look on your face that you didn't go to Berkeley last weekend. Did you even try to fix it?"
Drew kept his eyes on his computer and attempted to keep his voice level.
"Leave it alone, Carlos."
Of course he thought about trying to fix it, but what was the point? Carlos stood up, thank God.
"Fine, keep brooding. But you'd better have pulled yourself together by the time we go to San Francisco this weekend."
Drew's head shot up. What the hell was he talking about? Why the hell would he be going to San Francisco?
Carlos laughed. At, not with him, he was pretty sure. "The American Association of Pediatric Hospital Medicine Conference? We planned it, like, 2 months ago? We're the only 2 junior peds from this hospital who get to go? We leave tomorrow?"
Drew laid his head down on his desk, lifted it, and banged it back down. Luckily, the files on his desk cushioned him.
"You remember now, I see."
Carlos walked to the door.
"Have fun packing."
Drew let out a sigh when he was finally alone again in his office.
Great. Just the place he didn't want to go.
He jumped when Carlos poked his head back in the door.
"You should call her and tell her you'll be in town."
Drew got up and slammed the door in Carlos's face.
Maddie was all in for Theo's party, especially since her on-again, off-again relationship with Chris was off. This time, she said, for good. Thank God. Alexa had never liked that guy. Maddie volunteered to be the designated driver for the night, on the condition that Alexa wear whatever she ordered. This meant that Alexa sat in Maddie's car Saturday night in a leather jacket and a strapless black dress, wearing altogether too much eye makeup and heels at least an inch too high. Sometimes giving the reins over to Maddie wasn't the best idea. "Are you sure about this outfit?" she asked Maddie again, even though it was too late to change. "I have way too much cleavage with this dress, and this makeup isn't me. Plus, this is San Francisco. All of the dudes there will be in jeans and hoodies." "Just because their standards are low does not mean that we should lower ours." Maddie backed into the parking spot on a side street that they'd found after 10 minutes of circling. "And why do you care about your cleavage? What happened to, if you got them, flaunt them?" Alexa checked her reflection in the car mirror one last time. "There are going to be a ton of douchebags here tonight. That's what happened. All of those tech bros that Theo's friend Nate knows. And the rest of the people there will be people I've worked with. I don't want them to think..." Maddie jumped out of the car and shut the door. Alexa knew a hint to stop talking when she heard one. She grinned when she looked at Maddie, wearing a hot pink mini dress and tall black boots. Hopefully, at least Maddie would get some action tonight. She needed to find someone good to her after that asshole, Chris. "All right, fine," Alexa said. "Let's do this."
Chapter 15. "I can't handle this for one more minute," Drew whispered to Carlos. It was the awards dinner at the conference. The ballroom of the Palace Hotel was filled to the brim with self-congratulatory doctors. Drew wanted to stab himself in the head with a fork.
"On it," Carlos said. "I'm going to the bathroom in 2 minutes. 3 minutes later, you go up to the bar for another drink. We'll meet up by the taxi stand outside and get the hell out of here."
In 10 minutes, the two of them were in a cab, laughing at how well they'd executed their plan. It was the first moment of fun Drew had had in 2 days. The conference had been educational, sure, and he'd gotten to spend more time with Dr. Davis, his mentor from med school. But it had been 2 full days of networking and listening and smiling and taking notes, even in the hotel bar at night. And the whole time he kept trying to not remember that Alexa was just a bridge away. Thank God Carlos was there, too. He would have died from either boredom or frustration otherwise.
"Where are we going?"
He hadn't paid attention when Carlos had yelled out an address to the cabbie.
"I just told him 24th and Valencia. I figured we could find somewhere good to go around there, and no one from the conference is going to get that far from here."
He thought for a minute.
"And if they do, we want to know who they are so we can find them at next year's conference."
They walked into the first bar they found and were soon drinking bourbon and watching basketball with everyone else sitting at the bar. Halfway through the first bourbon, their jackets were off and their ties were loosened. By the time they'd finished their drinks, they'd made friends with the bearded dudes on either side of them and their tattooed bartender, so much so that they ordered a large pizza for delivery to the bar, with the bartender's blessing. After his third drink, Drew got up to find the bathroom. His new friends pointed him to the back of the bar, so he weaved through a crowd of people to get there. On his way back to his bar stool, he heard the laughter. He turned his head and saw her. She was over in the corner, and a black dude in glasses had his arm around her. Without thinking about it, he walked toward them and stopped just outside their circle. "Alexa?" She turned, and when her eyes met his, her smile blew him away all over again. It was hesitant at first, and then grew in strength, like a light with a dimming switch being turned up. He smiled back at her, trying to think of what to say, but between the bourbon and the hunger and her smile, his mind was blank.
"Drew, what
What are you doing here? She didn't sound upset to see him, and she was still smiling at him. Those were good signs, but that guy's arm was still around her. Suddenly, instead of being on the other side of the circle of people from her, he was right in front of her. "What am I doing at this bar or in San Francisco?" he asked. He wanted to reach out for her, but stopped himself. "Either." She raised her eyebrows, and her smile dimmed a little. "Both." He touched her hand, but didn't take it. Had he forgotten how good it felt to be around her, or had he forced himself to block that out? "Conference. Carlos and I are both here." He inclined his head in the direction of the bar. "We had to bail on the awards dinner tonight, and somehow we ended up here." He moved closer to her, so their bodies were almost touching. He could feel her body heat through that tight dress she was wearing. She didn't move away. "And you?" She looked away from him and at the pack of people surrounding them. Most of the people who'd been in the circle around her had melted away, except for the dude in glasses and the woman in pink. They were both staring at him. He stood close to her, hoping that the dude in glasses would get the hint. He didn't. Wait, was Alexa with this guy? "It's Theo's birthday party, and..." The woman in pink elbowed her, not at all subtly, and she laughed again. "Sorry, sorry. Drew, this is Theo, the birthday boy, and this is my friend, Maddie. Maddie, Theo, Drew." Of course it was fucking Theo. Maddie shifted her drink to her other hand so they could shake hands. "Maddie, nice to meet you. I've heard a lot about you." He turned. "You too, Theo." At least Theo'd had to move his arm away from Alexa's shoulder to shake Drew's hand. Maddie grinned at him, her eyebrows dancing. "Likewise, Drew. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to freshen up this drink. And I think the birthday boy needs another, don't you, Theo?" She disappeared in the direction of the bar with her almost full drink and with an iron grip on Theo's arm. Drew was pretty sure he was going to like Maddie. "Hi," he said, once they were alone. He touched her bare arm and this time didn't let go. Can we talk for a minute?" Now that he'd seen her, he couldn't just walk back to his bar stool. She looked in the direction that Theo and Maddie had disappeared in, and then back at him. Shit, was she going to tell him to go away? "Sure," she finally said. He grabbed her hand and pulled her deeper into the corner. "Look, I'm sorry about what I said. In the texts, I mean. I wasn't thinking," he said, once the din around them was a little quieter. He wanted to step closer, but didn't want her to back away. She squeezed his hand. "No, Drew, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have started all of that. It wasn't... I didn't want..." He looked down at her. That strapless dress she was wearing. He wanted to pull down the neckline and kiss her in that hollow between her breasts. "I wasn't..." he blurted out. "I mean, I'm not. I mean..." She looked up at him with a question in her eyes, and he realized how incoherent he was being. "What you asked me in that text. I'm not sleeping with anyone else." When she met his eyes and smiled, he stepped closer to her. She didn't move away. "You look great tonight," he said. She released his hand, and his heart fell for a second. When he felt her fingers stroke his waistline and pull him against her, he sighed in relief. "I'm glad you're here," she said. His hand moved from her arm to her waist. He bent down to kiss her just as she reached up to him. The kiss was familiar and a surprise all at the same time. It was like coming home to kiss her, like sliding naked into a freshly made bed with sheets just from the dryer, warm and sexy and everything he wanted. He cupped her face and kissed her harder. She bit his lip, and he jumped. "Were you getting me back for something there?" He licked her lip. She laughed against his mouth, and he laughed with her. How had he even thought about giving her up? "Just checking to make sure it's really you, that you're really here." He felt a hand on his back and flinched. He turned his head and shielded Alexa with his body.
If this was that Theo...
He relaxed when he saw Carlos behind him.
When you're done here, there's pizza up at the bar, and... Alexa!
Carlos's voice lost the stiffness, and he backed away.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was you. Don't mind me. Good to see you, Alexa.
Carlos! She wiggled out from behind Drew to hug him. Good to see you, too. It's my friend Theo's birthday party. Let me introduce you guys to some people. Alexa brought them both to the group around Theo and Maddie and did introductions all around. Theo didn't quite look thrilled to see him, but at least he didn't throw him out of the bar, not even when Alexa went off to the bathroom. Alexa was not at all surprised to find Maddie lying in wait for her outside the bathroom door.
So that's Drew, huh?
Maddie said with a wide grin. Alexa grinned back at her. Damn, had it felt good to flaunt him around the bar. And while he'd looked good every time she'd seen him, he looked especially good tonight, wearing a white button-down shirt with his tie loosened in that way that made her want to pull it all the way off and throw it on her bedroom floor, or any bedroom floor.
That's Drew.
Maddie grabbed her arm as she tried to walk back toward Drew and dragged her over to the bar.
Is everything okay? Between you two, I mean.
Alexa smiled and shrugged.
I think so.
Maddie raised one eyebrow.
Damn, did she hate that Maddie could do that. She'd spent hours in front of the bathroom mirror as a teenager trying to figure out how to do it, with no luck.
The biggest problem with it was whenever Maddie did it to her, it worked.
Last week, we had a fight.
I started it. Well, we both said stupid things, but I started it. He definitely made it worse, though.
Anyway, we made up, and no, he's not sleeping with anyone else.
Maddie grinned and took a sip of her weak gin and tonic.
Excellent. So, back together, then?
Alexa laughed.
I don't know if together is the right word. How about, I'm back to trying to not overthink things. I'm just... happy he's here right now, Mads, and that he seems happy to be here, with me. I'm going to enjoy being happy for now, okay?
Maddie handed her a drink and clinked their glasses together.
I am 100% in favor of you being happy.
She walked back over to Drew to find him deep in conversation with Nate. She turned to go ask Theo if he needed another drink, but before she could move away, Drew's arm slid around her waist and secured her to his side. It turned out she didn't even mind douchey Nate so much when she had Drew's arm around her and his warm body against hers. After a few minutes, she saw Maddie whisper something in Theo's ear. Weird to see Theo and Maddie being friendly. They'd only ever barely tolerated each other before.
Hey, Nate, what was that bourbon you wanted me to try?
Theo asked a few seconds later.
Oh, it's behind the bar. Let me go with you to show you. I brought it back from my trip to Kentucky. There are only 100 cases of it produced a year. You're lucky that I...
As they walked away, Theo turned back to her and winked. She turned to Drew to make fun of Nate, but his mind was elsewhere.
As much as I like your friends, he said, his fingers stroking her waist, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, and I've missed you. You think we can take off any time soon?
She should probably play it cool, right?
Not show how much she couldn't wait to be alone with him. How delighted she was that he told her he missed her. Not admit how much she'd missed him, too, and that she desperately wanted to be naked in a bed, or out of a bed, with him. Not jump when he said how high. Yes, she absolutely should play it cool.
Give me 30 seconds to get my jacket and tell Maddie I'm leaving.
I like that jacket, Drew said as they stood outside after summoning a ride by pressing a button on his phone.
She zipped it up against the frigid San Francisco summer night.
Thanks. Maddie made me wear it tonight.
The way he was looking at her, she owed Maddie a bottle of wine for forcing her into this outfit. She remembered the bottles Maddie had brought over to her house after she sent those ill-fated text messages.
Okay, Maybe she owed Maddie a few bottles of wine. I'd like it even more if you were naked underneath it. He played with the zipper, running it up and down, while his eyes followed his fingers. She shivered. How much would you like it? She stared at his fingers moving along her chest. She wanted him to stop and linger, but he just kept up that slow movement. Had she thought it was cold tonight? If she stood there with him any longer, she'd get so hot she would combust. He took her hand and let her feel how much this was getting to him, too. This much, I think. What do you think about that? She moved her fingers up and down over him like he was doing to her. She was gratified to hear his intake of breath. I think we'd better get to your hotel as soon as possible. All Drew wanted was to make out with Alexa in the back seat like teenagers. Unfortunately, they had the chattiest driver ever, and Drew was drawn into conversation with him despite himself. By the end of the ride, their new friend Miguel had given them the address of his favorite taco truck and his theories on gentrification. Alexa giggled as they got on the elevator. What? He pretended to scowl and pushed her against the back of the elevator. She didn't resist and kept laughing. You say I'm the politician, and yet tonight you bonded with our driver and had a long conversation with Nate, of all people. I think your whole sour-faced thing the weekend of the wedding was all pretense. He held onto her arm and trapped her against the wall. Keep talking like that, and I can't promise what will happen. Interesting things happen to us in elevators, you know. She licked his neck, bit down, and licked again. Had he really planned to never see this girl again? I'm growing to like elevators quite a bit, she said, as the doors opened for his floor. He fumbled in his pocket for the door key and realized two things. One, he wanted to pick her up and throw her on his bed again. Two, he really had to pee. Shit, he'd better make it quick. He pulled her inside the room. Don't move. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back. He flew into the bathroom and hoped that the look on her face hadn't been irritation or, oh God, a change of heart. Maybe she'd remembered she was mad at him? That thought made him zip his pants quickly in case he had to convince her to stay. When he opened the door, she wasn't standing in the entryway where he'd left her. She hadn't left, had she? He looked around the room and... holy shit. She was propped up against the pillows on the bed, wearing that leather jacket, those heels, and nothing else. He unbuckled his belt. I thought I told you not to move, he asked her as he approached the bed. She nodded, her fingers zipping and unzipping the jacket like he'd done earlier. It's true. You did tell me that. But you also told me you wanted to see me in this jacket and nothing else. Do you want me to put my clothes back on? He dropped his pants to the floor and stepped out of them, kicking off his shoes in the process. Over my dead body. He crawled onto the bed and straddled her. He grabbed her hands and pulled them away from that zipper. She watched him play with it for a while, as her hands ran up and down his body. Then, without any warning, she pulled off his tie and threw it onto the floor. I've been wanting to do that all night. He unzipped the jacket all the way, rolled over, and pulled her on top of him. She sighed and leaned against his chest. He loved the way she always relaxed into his arms whenever he touched her, even at the bar when they hadn't seen each other for 2 weeks and he knew she was mad at him. As soon as he pulled her against him, her body had molded to his. I missed this, she said. He turned them both over so he was on top of her again and kissed her in that hollow between her breasts that he loved so much. Did you miss this? Or did you miss me? She opened her eyes and held his gaze for a long moment.
both. He smiled.